Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to speak. As you can see, I'm not Brother Forrest. I'm not the full-time preacher here, trying to fill in some shoes here. And Brother Forrest is actually here, and he's looking forward to my lesson. So I'm glad you could hear it this morning. You may see the image that I have above me, and what I'm going to be talking about today is sort of continuing on the idea that Forrest presented to us on Wednesday night about our evangelism and how we spread the truth, and just sort of taking a look at a worldview that today is extremely prevalent, and this idea of pluralism. You've probably seen this bumper sticker, and that's what I've got up here, where it says coexist, and it's got several different emblems of several different religions throughout the world, and religions or worldviews, so to speak. And the idea here is that that they can all be symbiotic, and they can all, as it says, coexist. What I want to do is I want us to understand what pluralism is. It's very hard in this day and age for a lot of people to understand the concept that if one religion is true, that the others must be false. A lot of times what they do is they fall into this idea of pluralism, that no one religion can claim to be superior to the others, because that is intolerant, if you say that, and that's also exclusionary. But what I want to talk about this morning is not only understanding what pluralism is and why so many people adhere to that, but also how to talk to people who think this way. How to talk to people about Christ when they think that Christ is just another way to say this religion or that religion, and they all have validity. Now, what I want us to understand is that Christianity, in what we preach and in what we claim, cannot be equal to any other religion. It's impossible to be equal to any other religion. And here's why. Because what we claim is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He came to live on this earth, and that He died for our sins, and He rose again on the third day. And that through Him, we know God. And only through Him, we know God. Now, if what we say is true, that makes Christianity and the faith in Christ superior to any other faith and any other thing. If what we say about Christ is not true, that He is not the Son of God, that He did not die and resurrect, then what we say and our faith in Christ is inferior to other religions, because what we're saying is false. The idea is this: if we speak the truth, then it is superior to falsehoods. If we don't speak the truth, then it is inferior to something else. Christianity is either superior or inferior to all other religions, but it's never on the same plane. It can't be. The reason why it's important to understand the ideas of pluralism and to understand how to talk to people about pluralism is because just about every congregation that I've ever been to, there are non-Christians in the audience. There are non-Christians who are sitting in the pews and are listening to the lessons. And what we have to understand is that when we talk in our congregations and we go out, what we have to understand is that we're talking to people who don't yet understand that Christ is the Son of God, who adhere to different worldviews, who were grown up in different households, who are raised to believe different things. And so what we have to understand is that it's very important to understand different worldviews, and today we're taking a look at specifically pluralism, in order to reach those who are non-Christians. Now, as far as the idea of pluralism is concerned, our society these days have very little patience for somebody saying that their message is superior than others, and believing that Christ or Christianity is superior to other religions. A lot of them say, well, how can you say that? We're going to be getting into to some of those things that they talk about and those things that they believe and adhere to in a little bit. But we also have to understand that society these days really kind of confused the idea of superior message. And they also say that it's an arrogant thing to say. To say that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, as Christ has said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. It is a superior message, but it is not arrogant. And society doesn't really see that there's a line there. And so what we see is when we try to reach out to people who adhere to this worldview, to this idea of pluralism, is that we need to preach the truth. We need to stick to the truth, the Word of God. But we need to preach it with love, patience, and understanding without alienating people. We need to preach the superior message of Christ, because it is superior, without sounding arrogant. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Well, let's take a look at some of the pluralistic claims that are very prevalent these days. First of all, that no one religion can know the fullness of spiritual truth, and therefore all religions are valid. It's the idea that, you can't say that Christianity is more important than Judaism, or Christianity is more important than Islam, or it's more valid than another religion, because it's all different religions. Some pluralistic claims say that common morality can make you just as good as a Christian, so what do we need religion for? All religions are valid just as long as they make you a good person. That's the whole point. All religions only see part of the truth. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And then truth about God cannot invalidate the beliefs of others because that is arrogant. To say that your message and that what you believe is superior to the beliefs of others is an arrogant way to go about life. Well, one thing that we see as the core in a lot of pluralistic views is the idea of truth and whether or not it can be known, a complete truth and whether or not it can be known. In terms of a pluralist, the idea is that no one can really know the truth, that the truth is not something that we can understand, and that maybe it's a combination of all these different religions. Maybe it's, you take a part here and a part there and you kind of put it together in one harmonious message about goodness and love. And that's really what it's all about. That nobody can really know the truth and no one religion can claim to be preaching the absolute truth. Well, let's take a look at this an allegory here. Go ahead and go to the next slide about the elephant. What we see here is a picture of an elephant, okay, and you have all these blind men, and they're trying to describe what's in front of them. One has a hold of the tail and says, I have a rope. One has a hold of the trunk and says, I have a snake. Another might be feeling, the side of the elephant and saying, I have a tree. And the argument is that all religions see part of this truth. Nobody realizes that what they actually have here is all the same thing, but they're all describing it in different ways, and that's what all the religions of the world do. They describe it as they see it, but what they don't realize is that they've got all a part of this elephant. And they're trying to describe what's in front of them and what they understand. And when you stop and you think about this, what you realize is that you in the audience and me sitting here, we can see this whole elephant. And the person that's telling the story are telling it from the viewpoint of somebody who can see that it's an entire elephant. You see, what they're doing is they're saying nobody can know the truth, because the truth is unknowable. That in and of itself is what's known as a truth claim. They're saying, this I tell you is true. You can't know the truth. The idea that all is relative, this idea of the elephant and the way that they describe it and the way that they see the validity of all the religions of the world as equal, it's a truth statement, and it seems more tolerant at the surface, that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. But what I said earlier was that Christians are either liars or they're right. We're either telling the truth about Christ and what he's done for us, and what God's plan is through his word, or we are liars. We're either right or we're wrong. We're either superior or inferior. And so those who make these claims about the religions of the world being equal and all being valid, what we see is that it's completely inconsistent. Because what they're saying is, like I said before, we can't know the truth. Believe me, that's the truth. To say that one, and when they say that, it's kind of interesting. When they say that, they're taking a superior message. They're taking a superior side and saying that I know the truth, and I'm delivering to you the truth, that this is the truth, that there is no truth, and that all these religions are just sort of, they're all equal. This is the truth, I tell you this. And so the truth is a superior message, but they're saying there is no superior message. The idea is that, no, the religions cannot be all equal. The viewpoint is extremely inconsistent. And so where this becomes sort of a problem in somebody's life, and it could become a problem in anybody's life, is when pluralism itself is a philosophy in someone's life, when pluralism itself becomes religious dogma. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Now, pluralism, the idea that everybody sees things differently, is a fact. Everybody sitting in here has a very different view of this board. Whether you're seeing it from this side, whether you're seeing it from that side, whether you're seeing it from the back or the front, everybody has a very different view of this board, and that's a fact. Some of you read faster, some of you read slower, some of you don't necessarily look at all the words, you look at keywords and you get an idea. You read this differently. Some of you might even be colorblind and you see the picture differently. Pluralism, as far as seeing everything in a different viewpoint, well, that's true. But at the same time, what we look at pluralism as a philosophy becomes religious dogma. You have embodied this message that all religions are the same and that nobody can know the truth as your religious dogma. So when somebody speaks to you about Christ, you say, no, I reject that because nobody can know the truth. And like I said, some can argue tooth and nail that this is correct, yet make the claim that a Christian makes a strong counterargument is arrogant and ultimately untrue. What we have to understand about this religious dogma is that they are constantly going back to it and using it as the core belief in their life. Just as we believe that Christ is who he said he was and he has a right to rule in our life. Now, we as Christians can fall under the same problem, to where we are inflexible and we don't want to listen to what people have to say, and we don't want to listen to the concerns that people have in Christ. So when we're talking to people about Christ, and we're trying to spread the message that Christ has given to us of hope through his sacrifice and his resurrection, we should not fall under that same category of not listening, of not being open to discussion. And we'll talk about, what do we do about this as Christians? So the idea of pluralism. How do we talk to somebody about the about Jesus Christ when they adhere to the idea that all religions are valid? Well, first of all, it's a discussion. When you discuss with somebody, you're not necessarily, it's not a one-way conversation, it's a two-way conversation. It's very key that you understand what their concerns are about religion, about Christ, and understand where they're coming from and their perspective on things, their pluralism, so to speak. And then when you teach about Christ, even though you're preaching a superior message that Christ is the way to God, you do it without arrogance. We see a couple of scriptures on this, and I've used Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and also John chapter 4, verse 25 and 27. If we could advance those slides real quick. All right. And first of all, when we preach to somebody about Christ, we have to understand that we were where they are, that we used to be in the very same boat that they're in, that all people have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, that we are not superior to them. We as Christians are not superior to them. Our message, our hope in Christ is superior to all other hopes, all other faiths. But we as Christians, we're not. We've just been blessed to be able to find Christ. In John chapter 4, we see that Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he says, or she says to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. That the one comes will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So Jesus here has revealed who he is to this woman, to this Samaritan woman. And at this point, the disciples came, verse 27, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" The idea here is they couldn't figure out why Jesus would be speaking or even conversing with this Samaritan woman. "Why are you talking to her, Lord?" Because Jesus had a superior message to give to her. Yet it was the disciples who were being arrogant. The disciples who were wondering why Jesus would even be talking to the Samaritan woman. And so we can preach the truth. And when we preach the truth, what we have to understand is that when we believe it to be true, we are believing it to be a superior message. But it can be delivered without arrogance. It can be delivered in such a way to people to understand where they are and what they need, rather than holding it over their head and acting as if we are better than they are. And that's a very large concern for people who hold to the populist ideas, or the pluralist ideas, rather, is that Christians are arrogant, that Christians walk around like they're better than everybody else. And so when we listen to that, when we listen to somebody who is a pluralist say, "I can't be a Christian because Christians walk around like they're better than everybody else," it's time to self-examine. Am I being arrogant in my faith in Christ? We know that our message is superior, but am I acting arrogant? We understand that arrogance is not a virtue, that our message comes from Christ, and it is because of Christ that we have hope, not because of us. We are not superior. The message is superior. Secondly, we have to preach the truth with love. And I use 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in the first three verses, where Paul is talking about all these things that he's been blessed to be able to do. He says, "If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but don't have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing." You could preach to somebody, and you could be right, and you could use all the correct verses. But if you're not doing it from a place of love and compassion for that person, what does it profit us? If you're doing it as a sense of arrogance or a sense of superiority over somebody else, what does it profit you? Well, here, and that's what Paul is talking about, is that if he doesn't do the things that he does for God with love in his heart, without love, all this is nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So once again, when we talk to somebody who holds on to this idea of pluralism that all religions are valid, and we talk to them about Christ, we also have to understand their concerns about religion and about the arrogance and about not preaching with love and not doing the things that Christ has commanded us to do through love. We have to self-examine. We have to take a look at our lives, and then we have to present that message in a way that is not arrogant, that is loving. But most importantly, what we have to do is we have to preach the distinction of Christ. Because this is cornerstone to reaching somebody. It's not necessarily, I'm not going to go down the list and tell you why, if I'm going to preach Christ to you, I'm not going to go down the list and tell you why Islam's wrong. I'm not going to go down the list and tell you why Buddhism is not the way to God. I'm not going to go down the list and go through all the other religions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to preach to you the distinction of Christ. What makes Christ different? What makes Christianity different? What makes the truth about Christianity superior to all these other religions? Like we stated before, Christianity is either superior or inferior to all other religions because it's either Christ was who he said he was or he wasn't. If he was who he says he was, then our message is superior. If he wasn't, then our message is inferior. And so when we preach to people who hold on to these pluralistic views, we have to preach the distinction of Christ. What makes Christianity special? What makes Christianity different? What puts Christianity in a superior position over these other religions? Let's look at 1 John 1:14. Or not 1 John, I'm sorry. It was supposed to be just John. In the first chapter, we see that in the beginning was the Word, in the first verse of this chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we jump down to verse 14, and it says, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The distinction of Christ is this, is that no other religion in the world, not one, can say that Christ, or that God had come down to dwell with us, to suffer with us, to be a part of us, and then die for us. We see that God became like us. God became flesh and blood. And this is the only religion, this is the only faith that can make that claim. And He came here to salvage us. He came here to save us. Because we needed a way to God. In Romans chapter 8, we understand that God came to us in flesh. We understand that is very distinct, that God became flesh and came here for us. But we have to understand why, and it was out of love. And in Christ, we can understand that we are depraved. We can understand where we are in sin, yet at the same time find complete acceptability by Christ. In Him we can find complete salvation and love like we've never known. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35, we read about that love of Christ. We read about the outpouring of Christ Himself by coming down and becoming God in the flesh for us. It says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all the day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we talk to people, we adhere to the pluralistic notion, that the idea that all religions are the same, and all religions are valid. We have to, first of all, state that either the message of Christ is superior or inferior based on what we're saying about Christ. In John chapter 14, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. We have to make that distinction. When we talk to somebody who adheres to this, we have to make the distinction that either Christianity is superior or inferior, because it's either right or it's wrong. And then once we've gotten there, we help them to understand that pluralism is inconsistent. That because of the truth statements therein, the idea of pluralism doesn't hold water simply because you're making a truth statement that all truth statements are invalid. So now that we understand that either Christianity is right or it's wrong, it's superior or inferior, and that pluralism itself is inconsistent, that's the time to talk about the distinction of Christ and what Christ has done and what Christ is planning to do in our lives because of His sacrifice on the cross for us. Now, this lesson wasn't necessarily designed to necessarily combat things such as atheism and talk about all the counterpoints. But this lesson was sort of designed as an evangelism lesson, in that when we talk to somebody who is coming from a different perspective, this one particularly, pluralism, when we're talking to somebody coming from a different perspective, we have to listen, first of all, to what they're where they are. And we have to meet them where they are when we discuss Christ, so that it helps them understand. We see that evident when Paul talks to the Athenians. When he talks to the people of Athens, he meets them where they are, and he talks to them about where their understanding of God is. He talks about the tomb or the monument to the unknown God. And he appeals to them from a perspective that they can understand. And hopefully this morning that I've established, or help establish, a better understanding of what pluralism is and this idea of pluralism and how to discuss it and how to discuss Christ with those people who adhere to those beliefs. But what we must do is, like that last point says, we must preach the distinction of Christ. And we must have them understand that either Christianity is right or Christianity is wrong, and then give them the evidence of Christ. We're about to sing a song, There's a Fountain Free. We understand that Christ, in Romans chapter 8, that Christ's love, that nothing will separate us from Christ's love, because it is given to us, and if we accept it, nothing can separate us from it. And that through Him, and only through Him, is there a fountain free to salvation. Please stand and sing with us for your encouragement.